In the name of the one God, living and true, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. Please be seated. Happy Easter. How wonderful it feels to say that to you here, gathered together in the church we call the House of God, gathered together as the people of God to celebrate this marvelous feast day, a day that has been celebrated in the church for centuries. Not only once a year for centuries, but in fact, each and every Sunday in the Church of God is celebrated as a little Easter, a day which we call the Day of the Lord, not in the Sabbath of the Old Law, but as a remembrance, a solemn remembrance of Jesus rising from the dead. And we do this not simply to remember an historical occurrence that happened 2 millennia ago, but rather to begin to realize that the presence of the risen Lord is as real to you and to me here in this place today as it was to Mary and Peter and John and the others. Maybe, just maybe, we don't quite understand what that means. Maybe we're like those first disciples who don't quite get it. Maybe it's because we are so familiar with the story that it sort of escapes us a little bit. But maybe this year, and particularly today, as we return to celebrate Sunday Eucharist for the first time in 6 months or so, that we celebrate here our resurrection, our emergence, tentative as it may be, anxious and anxiety-ridden as it may be, somewhat fearful as it may be, and maybe tenuous because, depending on how the conduct of the pandemic continues, we may need to withdraw yet again. But that's in the future. For today, we are here. For today, we celebrate the Lord's life among us. But we celebrate, as I mentioned, not only today, but every Sunday. And for those who are disciples of Christ, for those who have been baptized into his life, into his blood, we are the body of Christ in the world. We celebrate this every moment of every day of our lives. This is the reality of the resurrection. That we proclaim Christ alive, now and forever. We come here, you and I, to gather around the table of the Lord, to recognize the Lord in the breaking of the bread, and that it is here in this place that we, like Mary, discover Jesus. I love this story. Mary is there, Mary who loved Jesus so deeply. And she looks at him and doesn't even recognize him. John tells us in the gospel that she supposed him to be the gardener. And it was only when he finally spoke her name, he'd already spoken to her, but only when he says her name, Mary, probably in a manner and in a voice that she had only heard from one person before, and that was Jesus. And it was on hearing her name that she recognized who he was. That is a lesson for us too. For God has called each and every one of us by name. Each and every one of us has been called into the mission, into the work of Christ. We have been called into the life of Christ by name. Not as some generic person, but each and every one of us as a unique and abiding soul in which the Spirit of God dwells. In our baptism, which we will recall in a few moments, we were given a name, and we were called by Jesus as Mary was that first Easter morning. It is then that we recognize the Lord. We come here today not to celebrate as the world might celebrate some great emergence, but to celebrate a reality that sometimes we have failed to acknowledge. And that is that whether or not we are in this building at any given point in time, the church endures. The body of Christ endures. Whenever we find ourselves with another disciple, therein is the church. And there Christ is seen. We do this so that we are fed. We do this so that we remember. We do this so that we can once more recall the power of the Spirit alive in us and then go out into the world and proclaim that reality. But whether or not we are able to gather together in a room like this, we are still the church. We are still the presence of God in the world. We are still the work of God, as God has called us to accomplish. You and I are the very presence of the risen Lord. Not in the bodily form, perhaps, that we, Mary and John and Peter might have seen, but looking for that empty tomb. Maybe when we are not here in this building, we need to see it ourselves as the empty tomb. We come here in our own minds and hearts to meet the Lord, to be sure. But perhaps we need to remind ourselves, but these are but brick and mortar. Despite their beauty and the awesome structure, they are nothing without what dwells within. And that is you and I, we together, we where the Spirit of God dwells. In this place, as we gather together this day, we are reminded that there are empty tombs everywhere. But we do not see these tombs, these shells, as it were, as the world sees them. We see them as a constant witness to the risen Lord. That no tomb, no building, no temple can contain the Spirit of God. That the Spirit of God dwells deep within us. And as long as our hearts are beating and blood courses through our veins, the Spirit of God is alive in the world in which we live. And it is through us that the world can come to know Christ. It is through us that the Spirit accomplishes its work and renews not only the church, but the world that God has made. You and I, we have an awesome task before us. For our world has been grieving. Our world has seen loss, like many have not seen in more than a generation. Loss of life, of well-being, loss of work, of economic stability. There is loss in abundance. But this is perfect for us to reflect upon when we hear about the loss that those first disciples encountered, when all that they had invested themselves and all that they held precious seemed to be evaporating before their eyes. Perhaps that's the way we feel from time to time, when everything seems to be turned on its head and nothing seems to be as it was, and we almost want to give up and say, it'll never come back. We cannot say that. Not because we are some cockeyed optimist, but because we believe in the risen Lord. And we know that no matter what this world throws at us, it cannot overcome the power of the risen Christ. The flickering flame of faith dwells in our hearts. Even as the Easter candle is illumined this day, that candle which lit candles that we were given in our baptism to be carried out into the world, to be the light to the world. That faith is deep within us, but we need to let it grow. We need to let it have the fuel that it needs in the Spirit of God. And in fact, that tender little flame that flickers in this cold and chilly morning, 50 days hence at the Feast of Pentecost, should be a roaring fire. Let it be so for us that while we sit in the chill of this morning and see but a flickering flame in the midst of our sanctuary, realize that that flame now dwells in us, that in the days to come, it can be a roaring fire that illumines the world. This is our high calling. This is the purpose of the Lord's resurrection. Not to teach us that somehow he will live forever. We know that. But to begin to appropriate that great mystery for ourselves. And to begin to see the very power that raised Jesus from the dead will sustain us, will help us to endure, will actually encourage us to thrive, regardless of the challenges we face. May it be so for us this day, as we proclaim Christ risen from the dead, that our song will be Alleluia, praised be to God. Not only for the raising of our Savior, but for the life that lives within us and sustains us unto life eternal. Let us, with our lives, proclaim, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.